going to provide. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet in here. There's many people out sick this morning with many different things. God is still healing. He's still putting fullness of joy in the hearts of people that are brokenhearted. So I'm going to ask you to give God what only you can give Him. It's praise. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You, Father God, for every single person, Lord, that's here today. God, in this congregation, Lord, for every person, God, they're watching from Facebook Live. Lord, I ask right now that You do a mending in every broken heart. Lord, for every person, and they're struggling in addiction right now. God, You are the chain breaker. So, God, I ask right now, Lord, that You would break every chain. God, for every person that needs a healing. God, whatever it is, I ask that You put a healing in the body of Your children today. Lord, I thank You right now, God, that all anxiety is leaving this place. It's leaving the hearts of Your children right now. God, where there's been an unrest, God, I ask that You would put peace there. And Lord, I ask that You'd help us to leave here changed this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm so happy to be in His house. I've waited all week to spend with you here, and I feel so blessed to be your pastor. It's a privilege. It's an honor, and I don't take it lightly. Pastor Jeremy does not take it lightly, and I want to tell you, God's got it. God's got it. If you came in here struggling this morning, God's got it. If you've come in here broken this morning, God's got it. God has it. He is the author and He is the finisher of your faith. He didn't start something in you to give up now. He's going to finish what He started. Amen. So get on board with the Word of God and say, God, help me to finish what You started. God, help me to live out my days according to what You'd have me to do, Lord. So in Genesis chapter 22, we're going to begin to read here. And you know, my week, many times I preach out of the overflow that's gone on in my week. And you say, well, Pastor Kelly, why do you do that? Because look here, there's nothing worse than a pastor that gets up and preaches about things they don't know about. It's very simple. I'm not going to get up here and talk about something that I haven't experienced myself. And so out of the overflow of what's gone on in this week, that's what we're going to minister about today. And, you know, all throughout the week, I've told God so many things. God, how is this going to happen? Lord, the church needs this. We need this, or we got to have that. Or, Lord, every time, without fail, God provided. God made a way. He made a way. Amen. I was driving in my car. This is a very simple little thing. And I was telling the Lord, Lord, y'all are going to laugh, but I said, Lord, I would really like some eggs to be able to give people. It was just something little. And I just kind of in my heart, we've done so much stuff with food this year, and we've given so much stuff out, and we're just getting started. But it was just a little thing. And I no more than thought that thought, and somebody called me, and it was a California number, and I thought, doggone it. Is somebody going to tell me about my car warranty, or they're going to tell me about a student loan, which I don't have, or any other thing that they're going to decide to pester me with that's a scam? And, you know, I hate getting those calls, but sometimes I just like to mess with people. I just like to show them, look here, you called to scam me, but I'm going to scam you. So I got this call from California, and I was about to pull a real whammer jammer on him. I was really getting my story all up. I was about to pull a shenanigan. And the person said, is this Pastor Kelly? I thought, this might actually be legit. And I said, yeah, it is. It kind of caught me off guard. I was ready to really get him. And they said, you know what? I don't even know you. I've never stepped foot in your church, but all day long, God has been working with me. And we live on a farm, and we have these chickens. I thought, chickens? several dozen eggs a week, and I want to give them to you. I want to just be able to put them on the threshold of the church. And I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter if it's eggs, something simple as eggs. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your finances. It doesn't matter what it is. God is going to provide for you. He'll do it in ways that you did not expect. He'll do it in the times that you did not expect. He'll do it in the moments where you feel like, oh my gosh, Lord, everything's coming down. Look here, God has never been late for you. Settle that in your heart. He may not have done what he did on your time schedule, but see, God doesn't work off of what we think that we need to do when we need to do it. Many times I'm going, God, I'm getting a little nervous. Look here, God's never late. God's never late. He's right on time. If God told you he would do something, settle it in your heart. He's going to do it. So many times we're looking to the left and we're looking to the right. We need to be looking up and we need to say, God, I believe what your word said is true. So God, right now, I line myself up. I line my life up. I line my family up. God, I line my thinking up to your word that says that you'll provide. To your word that says you'll make the way. See, so many of us, we get so uneasy because we feel like, it's not going to happen. Look here, it's going to happen. God's going to make a way. God's going to make a way. For some people, you came in here and you're sitting there and you're in that place where you're telling God, Lord, I don't know if I can ever make it out. God, in my heart of hearts, Lord, I'm down. I want to talk to that person for a moment. I want to tell you that God loves you, and I want to tell you that God fills that brokenness and he's going to make you to have joy again. He's going to make you to have joy again. I just sense that in my heart, and I want to tell you that it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Last night, I did a jewelry show, and I need more things to do. But I sat down, Ms. Dale, and I started reading the word, and God just spoke to me. And he said, Kelly, get on the church page and just begin to tell people that I've got it. And make sure you tell them that I love them. I love them. And it's going to be okay. I remember when I was 19 years old, I had been through a very awful experience. And my mother, Mama, raise your hand for people that don't know you. That woman, she's a saint. I don't take up after her. She's just the sweetest lady. She's the only person that I'm pretty sure God just, like, made no flaws. I mean, she's perfect. And when I was a little girl, I would hurt myself. And I'd have to be, like, gushing out blood to even impress her because she's been an RN for years. So if you ain't bleeding to death, she has not impressed. She's going to tell you to go on and play some more. So anytime that I would be hurt, Heather, she'd get down in my face and she'd say, now, Kelly, it's over. What you're crying about, you don't need to cry about it because it's over. It's done, and it's done happened. And when I was 19, I remember we were driving to Clarksville in her green RAV4, and I just began to weep because in that moment, I felt like I would never be whole again. I had gotten so down that I thought, God, I could never be happy again. Lord, I'll never have what I thought that I was going to have. See, the devil will talk you up into some stuff. And look here, God doesn't have failure for you. God doesn't have brokenness for you. And she just did her little thing like mamas do. And she put her hand over there. And she said, Kelly, it's over. It's over. And I want to tell you, look here. Make the choice this morning that, you know what, God, I choose to pick myself up one more time. If you'll pick yourself up one more time than what you fall down, you may fall 1,000 times. Pick yourself up one more time. Pick yourself up one more time. God has some things for y'all. You'd never even know, my God, how could you do that with little old me? Look here, God's going to provide the way. You can sit there many times. You'll be sitting there and you'll be daydreaming about doing something and really see God put that in there. God puts that in there. And we get intimidated by the plan. Don't get intimidated by the plan and don't try to figure it out. Don't try to logistically figure out the details. Look here. God is the God of detail. You don't have to figure it out. You just got to say, Lord, whatever you'd have me do, God, I'll do it. So in Genesis chapter 1, or actually 22, we're going to look at verse 1. And it says here, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. And then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. And I'm going to set the scene. Isaac was the promised son. He was what they had waited for a long time. And see, in their older age, they had Isaac. They were going to try to help God, and they had Ishmael. Let me tell you something. For the record, you don't have to help God. You don't have to try to figure it out. See, I'm a fighter. I love to. Man, in my younger day, I'd love to fight and argue with folks. I just don't do that no more. I like to have peace, but I'm a go-getter, and I'll just try to get myself. I'll exhaust my own self. I'll make it happen, Dale. I will get up in there, and I will just fight to the death of it. I'll say, I'm going to make this happen. What I've learned is that you don't have to make it happen. You got to let it happen. There's a difference. You can exhaust yourself to the point you're so tired that you can't really do what God had for you to do. If you can let it happen. Let it happen. And so Isaac was that son. Isaac was the son that they told, look here, you're going to have this baby and you're going to have him in your old age. And they did. See, exactly what God said was going to happen, exactly, it happened. And it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and he saddled his donkey and he took two servants with him and Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. See, many people, they won't even go to the place God told them to go to. God will say, forgive your enemy. And most of us are going, Lord, is that you? I know you're not telling me that. No. Lord, you know I don't like Sally Sue. Ugh. No, look here. Go to some places. Go to them places that God's telling you to go to. Go to those places, emotionally, spiritually, physically, in every way. And so he went. He saddled up. He took his son, and he went with those servants. And on the third day, Abraham looked up, and he saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and he said, Dad, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb that we're supposed to have for this here sacrifice? Many of us, we'll go and we'll do the thing that God's told us to do. We'll get up right to the brink of it, and we'll look back and we're going to go, now, Daddy God, where is such and such? A lot of people's afraid to even go. See, Abraham could have been like, okay, you want me to take my son. I know what you want me to do with him. He could have just decided not to go. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? When all the chips are down, are you still saying, God, I know you're coming through. God, I know you're coming through. It's easy to do that when you're in a place where everything's going good. I want to talk to you about when everything's going wrong. See, when everything's going wrong. Because, see, that's really the test. That's really when you know what you're made of. And Abraham, he just took that kid and he said, well, here we go, Isaac. And Abraham answered, God himself. God himself. Y'all say God himself. See? Not your mama, not your husband, not your boss, not your best friend, not the lottery. God himself. There's something that's gone on in this last day and age where people have impersonalized everything. I went out to eat the other day, sis, and I started looking around. I was looking, and I noticed something. And it really made me realize how far we've gone. All around me was families eating. All of them, including the babies, had an electronic device. And what we used to do is we used to go out and eat as families. We used to do things together as families. See, don't impersonalize your relationship with God. Because look here, when everybody's left you, when everybody's done you wrong, when people have disappointed you, when they've broken your heart, when they've abandoned you, look here, God Himself, He'll make up the difference. God Himself will provide. God Himself will step in. See, it's time that you take your relationship with God to where you know this is a personal thing. This ain't between me and nobody else. God, this is between me and you. See, God, I believe that you're still on the throne. And so Abraham, he just told that little boy, he said, God's going to provide it, Isaac. God will provide it. We're not going to worry about that. God will provide. And so he said, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them, they went on together. And when they had reached the place God had told him about, I want to tell you something. There's a place God's been telling some of you about. Some things that he wants to do with your life. And for whatever reason, there's intimidation there. There's fear there. There's reluctancy there. Why? It's probably change. But when he had got to the place that God had told him about. See, I'm going to give you an illustration. About 10 years ago, I was standing at the door of that church. And this is before I became a mama. Let me tell you something. There's your life before you was a mama. You were fairly sane. Most people. Okay? There's something about having a kid. Put you over that little pedestal right over there, and you become a little crazy. Because, see, you're responsible for a whole other human. Every need. And so I had those hormones going on. I was pregnant with Carson Paul, and I was standing at the door, and my job back then was not the pastor. It was just to greet the people and smile and give them their pamphlet. Heather, I was at the door bawling and squalling, and people were coming in like, I don't know if I want to go up in here and look at their daring to folks. And Dad walks through, and then he walks through again, and he goes, what are you doing? Nobody's going to want to come up in here with you doing that. I was just crying. I said, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to have to do, but I'm going to do something crazy because I don't know who's going to watch this baby when I have them. And see, I like to know things. I like to know them like years in advance. And I don't know why, because I know if I knew them years in advance, I would mess them up. Because that's just how I roll. And he said something, and I've kept it with me since then. He said, Kelly, you don't know right now because it's not time to know. See, there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. Everything under the sun. There's a time and there's a season. So many times God will say, go to this place. Forgive that person. I know what they've done to you. I know they hurt you. We're going. Now, God, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there. Because, see, I don't have the forgiveness to give them because I'm still hating on them. Now, look here. I just tell it like it is. Do people have hatred thoughts? Yes, they do. We still living and breathing. We get irritated. We do things. God will provide. God will provide every place in your life where you come up short. God's right there. God's telling you, you know, in the beginning of 2020, I said, God, I'm not going outside to minister. Not going to do it. No. I got in my prayer closet, and he said, you're acting like you got a choice. well, I guess I'll do it. So I get up outside, preached outside every service for 3 months. One of the best 3 months of my life. Because it taught me so many things. And what it taught me is to stay focused. Stay focused. What is the focus? God's plan. God's plan is bigger than everything. It trumps everything. It's bigger than anything. I preached out in the rain with the Easter Bunny on Easter. Delivered the bunny presents to the kids in their car with the Easter Bunny with the umbrella. Got to preaching outside. There would be random dogs come up in the parking lot and start dog fights and have this big commotion. I had people riding their bikes and they'd stop. And then they'd ride back again. See, are you willing to just do what God says to do? See, don't be hung up. I thought, God, nobody's going to want to come to an outside service. It's hot. Everybody came. Even the neighbors. One of the neighbors got one of the deacons and he said, I want you to tell that blonde preacher that she needs to preach a little bit louder. Man, that's like a challenge. I said, you're kidding. He wants me louder? Praise the Lord. Put me up as loud as I'll go. So many times we're intimidated because God's telling us to go to a place. He's telling us to do something, and we're saying, but God, I don't have that to do. I don't have the means to do it. I don't have the patience to do it. God, I've done too many things. Lord, I've made mistakes. I was up in the jail this week. We finally got to minister back again at the jail. And I got up in there and I just began to talk. And I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit got up in there and I could just feel it. It was like a wave. And I just began to weep. Them girls began to weep. I'm going to tell you something. God will tell you to go places you never thought you was going to go. And then when you get there, see, then he'll provide. Then he'll provide. Don't ask God, well, God, give me my means to do this now. Look here. No, God wants to make sure you're going. He wants to make sure you're willing. And it says, when they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and he arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar. Look here. There are things that you need to lay on the altar. That you need to say, God, I had an idea about this thing, and Lord, it didn't work out how I thought it was going to do. God, right now, Lord, I lay that relationship down on the altar. God, I lay the addiction down on the altar. God, I lay the bad health report. God, I lay it down right now. See, are you willing to lay those things down? So many people say, Pastor Kelly, I want God's will. Look here, God's will is always going to challenge you to make a change. Anytime there's change in your thinking, in your life, in your behavioral things, there's a game changer. A lot of people, they stay stuck in their life because they're unwilling to just give God what he's asking for. There's things. See, Abraham, he wasn't intimidated. That was the son. That was the prized cow right there. That was the prized boy. That was the one that they waited for. That was the answer to the prayer. That was the miracle. What did they do? They just laid it down. They just laid it down. Why? Because God gave it to them. They trusted God. Man, Abraham was serious. It's like, all right. God, I'm taking you for your word. I guarantee you, Abraham knew that if he went on and sacrificed that boy, he trusted that God could bring him back. See, what are you willing to place on that altar? On the altar of your life? You really want God's best? Give God all the chips. A lot of times, we really do want God's best, but see, we got this chip over here and this little chess piece over there, and we're saying, okay, God, here's the 9 pieces. I'm going to keep this one. Look here, that's not going to work. Not going to work. do it with your whole heart. Let God into that place where you're having trouble even looking at that place yourself. And so he bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and he said, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your one and only son." And Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as the burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. On the mountain of God, it's going to be provided. God never told us that this life was going to be easy. God never said you would not be without trial, without tribulation. He never said that. But what he did say is, "I'm going to give you victory. I'm going to be there with you. When everything is going wrong, I'm there. Not only am I there, but I'm on time. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore you." See, on the mountain, God provided. Look here. The word also talks about the valley. In the Psalms, read it. It says, every valley, God's going to raise it up. See, we get stuck in slumps, in valleys, in phases where we struggle. Look here. God is not intimidated by the struggle that you're going through. He knew it was going to happen before it ever happened. He created a way before there was even a need for that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 8. And I've learned that you need to be able to point people to scripture and verse of everything that you see, that you say. And let me just reiterate right here and now. I always do a little commercial in the middle of my sermons. And it's this. Get into your word. Get into your word. It's not enough for your pastor to read to you a few verses. No, you got to get up into this word. You've got to read it, because when the trouble comes, when the hard thing comes, you got to have something to say. You know what? No, God's word says that I don't have failure. God's word says that I have healing. God's word says that I already have the victory. And so here's Jesus, and we're talking about, they're saying, "Well, how do we pray? All this stuff." And in verse 8, he says, he's telling people, you know, don't be doing everything for a show. You ever met somebody and everything they did was for some type of appearance sake? I can't stand that. Just be you. And he would tell them how to pray. He's saying, you know what? Don't get all uppity. Just talk. Just tell me. And so in verse 8 it says, "Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." Before you ask, He knows. See, before that trouble ever came into your life, before the financial problem ever came, before the broken heart ever came, before the struggle ever came, He already knew that you were going to be in need. He knows it. If you've been married a long time or you have a family member, many times when Jeremy comes in the door on Friday nights when he's been in Fayetteville, I just get a good look at him. He's so handsome. And I'm gauging how much I'm going to put on the man just by how he looks, because I know him. And I can tell when is a good time to tell him all the problems. And when's a good time to just give that man some supper? I've learned. It took 12 years of marriage to learn it, but I have learned that. And I take a good look at him and I think, yeah, this is not the time to tell him all the fires that we've got going on over here. Honey, I went to the barbecue place and I got you the biggest barbecue dinner they had to offer. Come sit right over here and eat it, honey, till your heart's content. And then he gets up in that recliner and he's happy. And I say, by the way, blah, 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 blah. Look here. God knows us. God knows us so well. There are things that we've got in our heart and we think are going to make us happy, we think is the solution. Have you ever thought something was the solution to the problem and you've got that thing and you realize that was not the answer? Look here. The heart is deceitful. Above all, who can really know it? Give God all the pieces. And know this, he's going to provide everything. If it's peace you need, he's going to provide peace. There's nothing worse than having that unrest in your soul, that thing that keeps you up at night, that thing that wakes you up at night. See, I know there's nothing worse than that. There's so many things that we say, well, God, I don't think I can ever be again. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. God, how could this ever be right? God will make it right. God, how can you ever make it up to me? God, I'm so at a loss. God will make it up. God will make it up. Somebody needs to hear that today. God will make it up. Every time you felt slighted, every time you felt looked over, every time that you thought the breakthrough was coming and it didn't. Look here. God will provide. And God will make up. God will make up for it. Aunt Patty, everything I've ever had, I've had to work really hard for it. But you know what it's made me know? God's got it. God's got it. At one point in time in 2020, we had an under the foundation water leak. That's apparently a big deal. I've never stayed up so many nights praying and crying over water. That was a learning experience. Then, we were having our little annual little pest guy, and he came and he goes, oh my God, I think there's a termite over at the Bain Center. So then I've got a water leak and a termite, and it just seemed like all these problems. And then there's this big old pandemic. All these things. And I kept saying, oh, my God. God, you sure picked an awesome time in 2019 to shift this and make Jeremy and I the pastors. Lord, what are you trying to do to me? Look here, there's things I could not have learned without the hardship that I've gone through. What I can tell you is that if you're driving down your car and you tell God you'd really like to have some eggs to give to somebody, he's going to provide it. If you're sitting in your house and you're telling God, God, I don't know how you're going to fix this marriage, God's going to provide. If somebody's giving you a terrible report from the doctor, God's going to provide. You're going to have to make the choice. Whose report are you going to believe? See? In 2019, I was in my house, and I began to pray. I was very depressed over some things that were going on in my life, and I just hit my knees, and I said, God, teach me how to be that fervent, effectual person, God, that can pray this out. Because, God, I feel like this is trying to take me over. But, God, your word said nothing's taking me over. God, you said if I'd line myself up with your word that you would perfect the thing that's concerning me. See, I'd sit here and I'd have to preach. And I would be telling God all my problems. And he would say, Kelly, I got your problems. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Just do what I told you to do. See, there's something to be said for the person that they say, you know what, God, come hell or high water, I'm going to do what you said. God, not only will I do what you said, but God, the thing that's keeping me up, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. You know what I come up out of 2020 knowing? God will provide, and he's the only one that can. Ain't nothing too big for God. So it says that, you know what? God knows the things before you ever ask. Before you ever ask, God knows. God knows. You know, the word also says, you have not because you ask not. It also says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why I'm telling you to get into your word. See, when things try to come to your household, be helpful to know what the word said about that thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. One of the things that I've really, really learned is the importance of doing what God says when God says to do them. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 6. There were ministries birthed out of this pandemic. In the Psalms, David says, God, you enlarged my territory even in the middle of all my problems. God, you enlarged me. You enlarged my territory in the middle of all this stuff going on. God, you did that. See, just because a problem has come up doesn't mean that you can't thrive. Doesn't mean you got to walk around and be all unhappy. No. Get yourself happy because, look here, the answer's on the way. God's providing. God's providing it. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, remember this. Remember this. Many times, it's a matter of recall. Recall. When you want to think, oh, this is not going to be good. And it's getting down to the wire and you feel like, God, why haven't you stepped in? You know what you need to do in that moment? You need to remember a few things. Go back to the last point in your life where you know God came through and you know that everything was going to be awful, but it wasn't because he came through. Remember, when we take communion, the word says, now do this. And when you're doing this, remember. Remember me. See, why does he tell us to remember things? Because he knows we're very forgetful. Are y'all forgetful? Many times I'll be going through my house and I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm like, I'm going to go and do such and such in the living room. I'll get in the living room and I'll say, Jeremy, why did I go to the living room? The other day, I found my keys in the fridge. I've done some really loony things. Look here, it's not a stretch of imagination for God to tell me to remember anything. Because look here, I know I'm forgetful. But you know what? When you've been through some stuff, here's what I know, sis. When I go through things now, this is what I tell God. God, I don't know how you're going to fix this. But I know you are. I know you are. God, I'm going to make myself go through this day, and I'm going to try to be a blessing. Because, God, I know you're working on the things that's got me all hurting. God, I know you're coming through. See, God's got it. God will provide whatever it is. And so it says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able. Everybody say, God is able. God's able. God is able. He's able. Crystal, he's able. He's able. He's able. He's still able. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Not just some grace, not just a couple things, all of it. all of it. Why is it important for us to give God every single thing? Why? Because, see, all grace. He's able to give all grace. He's able to fix all the stuff. Some of us, we got some stuff. He's able for all of it. He's able for all of it. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, everybody say all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. You will abound. You will abound. What is that meaning? You're going to succeed. You're going to have the victory. You're going to have what God told you that he'd give you. So that in all things you will abound in every good work. There was several months ago where I was driving through town, and God said, I want you to stop here, and I want you to tell this person that they can come to your church and get however much food that they need. And I said, well, God, that person, I'm going to offend them because they don't come to church here, but that's not important. They're pretty well-to-do. They're not going to need anything, and I don't want to offend them. And he said, Kelly, you do it. You do it because I told you to. I thought, well, I've done crazier things for the Lord. I'll do it. I've done crazier things. So, put my mask on, went up there, and I said, brother, I don't really know you real well. God just sent me in here to tell you. If you need anything, come on over. He said, okay. Real nonchalantly. Loaded him down. Why are we talking about this? Because I'm going somewhere with it. I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was weird God asked me to do it. See, so many times God'll say, I want you to do this. I want you to speak to this person. I want you to go here. And we're going, well, God, that person don't need that. Or, no, I don't really want to go there. Or, I don't think that's really my thing. That's what I said about the jail ministry. Look here. That is my favorite place to go out of my whole week. I love to be down there. You know why? Because it's just all raw and real. Raw and real. Ain't nobody faking nothing. Just tell it like it is. Do what God told you to do. He's using you to help somebody else provide. I got home. I had my dinner. Me and Jeremy were sitting there. We're content with just very simple things now. In our younger day, we'd go out to the movies. We'd do all this stuff. Now that the pandemic came, you know what, brother? I sit up in my house, no kidding, I'm in the right recliner, and I'm going, God, thank you for these four walls. God, thank you for the blender. God, thank you for the dishwasher, because we here in this house a lot more than we used to be, and I ain't washing them dishes. God, thank you for the floor. Lord, thank you for the new sheets. I've learned how to just be happy and content. I don't got to go and do a lot of stuff. I've learned how to be content. Why? Because I've been through a lot of things. And I've learned how to just be happy. See, the word says, I'll lead you beside quiet waters. What is quiet waters? No drama. I used to love drama. I don't like drama. A lot of people feel like they want to tell me every sin they've ever done, and I just stop them. You didn't rob the bank, did you? Okay. I'm going to plead ignorance on that. Don't tell me anymore. Please. I've learned how to just be happy. Me and Jeremy, we were in our jammies. We were just happy, and we were sitting in the recliner. We had just had our meal. My phone beeped. My phone beeps all the time. Any of you ever with me, you know that thing. It's always beeping. I looked over, This person said, I'm just weeping right now. You have no idea what I'm going through. You have no idea. Every cupboard's empty. Everything, there's nothing in the fridge. There's nothing in the freezer. There's nothing. I had nothing. Why is it important for us to just go with the thing that God says for us to do? Because you know what? We don't know how God's trying to provide for somebody. We just know that God said to do it. Somebody is counting on you being a sheep. See, my sheep, they hear my voice. And a stranger, they won't follow. See, God needs them little sheep to open up them ears and to hear and say, yes, Lord, yes, I'll do that. Many times we think, well, they don't need that or this or that. We'll think of every excuse instead of just saying, okay, I'll do it. Got no problem with it. And that touched me, and it made me realize that, you know what, God, what you're trying to do is so much bigger than me. I'm just going to go with what you say. I'm not going to question you. I'm not going to ask you why this bad thing happened to me. I'm not going to ask you and give you the fifth degree, God, and just be a hard-necked person. Lord, I'm just going to go with what you said. I'm just going to go with it. And God, if you're using me to help provide, look here. What does God do? He always turns it around. He always provides. Be that person he can use. Be that person. A lot of times I'll be up and I'll get my phone and I'll just scroll through and I'll just pick out people. Look here, I love you. You know how many people, they don't hear I love you in a day, a week, a month? This life that we're living in is very fleeting. We're going somewhere. There's not a tear. There's not a disease. There's not brokenness. Until we get there, we need to make it our job to make that place crowded. Make it crowded. Make heaven crowded. How do you do it? Love people. Just love them. Love them. Accept them. Last place for me, Philippians chapter 4. As I pray, I know that God has put visions. He's put dreams in those hearts. And maybe you're saying, God, I know this is from you, but I'm having a little trouble just letting all the details of it go. Because, see, I don't know how that will happen. Lord, I know you said it would happen, but I don't know how it will happen. Verse 19, it says, and my God, see, that's an intimate thing. We're in Philippians chapter 4. We're looking at verse 19. My God, is he your God? Do you talk to him? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you wake up in the morning and say, God, I love you so much. God, thank you for coming through for me. God, thank you for being my heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for healing my body. God, thank you for mending the brokenness. See, is he your God? And my God will meet all of your needs. He'll meet all of them. Sometimes we just need this or that. Look here. When it comes to needs, Daddy God does his job so well. He really does. If it's a small thing, doesn't matter. If it's a big thing, doesn't matter. He's the best at what he does. He's the best at what he does. And I want to tell you that you can trust God. You can trust him with everything that you have. If you're somebody and you've had a deep wound and you say, I'm trying to get through this, and God, I'm having trouble moving on. Look here. What you need is an inner healing, and God can do that. Whatever it is, God will provide it. God will provide it. And my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. See, it's not according to what you have. It's not according to what you've done. Many people, they say, well, I could never have that, or I could never go there, or I could never do this because I've made mistakes. I've done things that I'm not proud of. I've said things that are wrong. Look here, it's not according to anything about you or what you can physically do for yourself. It's according to what He has, what His riches are. Don't disqualify yourself. Let it. Let God do that thing. Take your hands off of it. Take your hands off of it. Many times I've got these two little boys and, oh, if you have boys, you know what I'm talking about. It's all I can really say about them is, oh. And I find myself many times in a week saying, Carson, Paul, just take your hands off of it and I can fix it. Can you do that, son? Please. You're driving me crazy. And he'll just look at me and he'll say, okay. Okay, Mom. We want to fix our own stuff. We want to take care of it. Aren't you ready to just breathe? When you lay down at night, truly rest. Not feel like everything is on your shoulders. Because look here, you can't hold it all. God will provide according to His riches, according to His glory. So if you're in a place this morning and you say, you know what, God, you've put something there and I know it's from you. God, I've had trouble just trusting you that you'll bring it about. God, I'm going to react to your word this morning. Because, God, I'm going to step back. I'm going to take my hands on all the ifs, ands, buts, all the this and the that. And, God, I just am going to go full force with just trusting you. I'm going to ask you to stand. Why are we standing? Because, see, you're reacting to the word. Everything that God told you He would do, He's going to bring it to pass. He'd like you to just enjoy your life. Enjoy your life. Do you see sometimes trying to get to where you know you want to go, where you know He wants you to go, and in that journey, you've just gotten yourself unhappy because you've put unrealistic pressure on yourself like you've got to make it happen. You don't. But what we do have to do is we have to let it. We have to let it. So God, in Jesus' name, Lord, for every person, God, that responded to your word today, God, I thank you right now, Lord, that you're giving us the strength, God, that you're giving us the courage, Lord, to take our hands off of that, Lord, and to accept, God, that you will provide, Lord, that you are making it happen, God. It's not a matter of us doing it, God. We're going to step back, Lord, and we're going to let it happen. God, we trust you. God, we love you. God, we let you be God right now in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there are a lot of goodies in the back. We've got bread.